Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Farcom Podcast. As always, I want to thank you very, very much for listening to each and every episode. Last episode was the highest amount of listeners I have ever had, and that's just really awesome. I always thought football would be the high point, and it had been, but last episode had a higher listenership than I've had of any episode, and that's just really cool, and I thank you very, very much. As always, if you do want to contact me or any concerns, the best way is to reach out on Twitter at Farcom Podcast. I do have a Gmail account. I don't really check it that much. It is farcompodcast@gmail.com, and also have a Facebook page, but again, Twitter is the best way. If you do love Northwestern sports, I highly recommend searching out the Shreveport-Bossier Journal. Former SID Doug Ireland is involved in that, and they have some just tremendous writers. They cover Northwestern a great deal. Had a really wonderful article about Coach McConathy. They do a lot of in-depth things. Doug Ireland will give his thoughts on the conference alignment on Northwestern, and I think he does a very fair job of pointing out both the cons and the pros of Northwestern. And the thing I've liked about it, reading through it, and it's free if you want to. You go to the website. They'll send you an email with the links to the articles. It's really easy. But the thing I like about it is the style of writing they have. It's not just that, I hate to say it, but that AP style, Gannett style that you see in a lot of newspapers these days. This is really creative writing, and it harkens back to kind of an older day. If you read some of the old Sports Illustrated stories from the 70s, and you read some of the old New York Times stories from the 70s and LA Times, it's that style of writing that's, I think, almost a lost art, and they do such a fantastic job. I can just really can't recommend it enough. Please do subscribe to it. It's free, and it does help some very, very talented local journalists that are doing their best to cover North Louisiana sports and Louisiana in general. Today, I have a lot to talk about. Baseball and a bit of power outage. Had a really rough week. We're going to discuss that, my thoughts on how they can improve on this one. Going to talk about softball, which I think is playing really good, solid softball right now. And, of course, men's and women's basketball starting the Southland Conference Tournament. Baseball standing right now at 3-8 on the year. Unfortunately, in the midst of 7 straight losses, 2 to Oklahoma, 2 to Louisiana Lafayette. And then this past weekend, we're blanked in all 3 games, 2-0 to Nebraska, 6-0 Nebraska, and 1-0 to UT Arlington in the Sunday game. Really, really difficult. And the thing, I guess, that highlights the most of that is just we've gone right now 31 straight innings without a run, and you just simply can't be successful if you're not scoring runs in baseball, which is pretty self-explanatory. Over the weekend, we hit 157, no runs, and 27 strikeouts. Just really not the discipline you like to see at the plate. Really look kind of confused the whole weekend. Never really got on track. And something we're going to have to really fix quickly. There's some talented pitchers in the Southland. Going to have to get that going. Now, on the flip side of that, I thought the pitching was really well. So I think the talent's there. If you look at the players on the team, they've been productive offensively. They just got to get it going. Really can't... nothing really to pinpoint. There's nothing there I could say where you can say, well, we lost, you know, some key cogs to the offense from last year, or the players aren't disciplined at the plate. We had moments, I think, we swung at pitches we shouldn't have. But overall, I still think the approaches weren't bad. To give credit, Nebraska is a very, very good baseball team. Of course, last year, they almost knocked off Arkansas, a very good Arkansas team on the road, and in the postseason, so they've been there, they're battle-tested, and one thing about the Northern teams that I always tell people to kind of think of is because of weather, they don't get the full set of practices a lot of teams have, so when you look at that first weekend of games, and they're, you know, their records are always kind of a little shifty because, again, they don't have that practice under their belt, and as the season goes on, they start getting their legs under them, so Nebraska, I could see them really being another solid team. I think they'll contend for the Big Ten title, and the Big Ten has improved in baseball. UT Arlington, again, that's a quality program. So it wasn't like we're blanked by some bad teams. This was some really good pitching we faced. But even with that, you've got to put runs on the board. And that's something that we're going to have to turn around quickly because you don't want to go in the Southland Conference struggling to hit the ball. Last year, we weren't one of the better hitting teams. So, again, I think the best thing we need right now is just patient at the plate, don't get frustrated, and just let the game come to us, see the ball better, and I think it'll correct itself. Pitching, though, quite good. Two people I do want to mention in game one, Dawson Flowers came in relief, three innings pitch, no strikeouts, but only gave up a hit. I thought he was just absolutely masterful. That's good to see. Drayton Brown in game three started six innings pitch, only gave up a hit, one earned run, and struck out four. That was really, really good showing. Pitching overall, I think, has been really quality for Northwestern. Haven't seen anything where we've looked bad going into conference play, and I think just the level of competitions we've played with Oklahoma is a solid team. Again, Nebraska, you look at UL Lafayette, you know, all those are really good teams. And I think with the way our pitching's hold up against those opponents, I think it bodes really well once conference play comes. And that's the real big factor. You know, realistically, it's going to be tough for any Southland team to get an at-large. So the key is doing well in the South Conference, setting yourself up for a good tournament run. And I think the Demons will be set up well for that. Coming up, we have UL Monroe, which is supposed to play tomorrow in Monroe, Wednesday, and Natchitoches. There's a lot of rain forecast, so that may get washed out. And if that happens, unfortunately, may not face the Warhawks. Warhawks aren't a bad team. They're basically like us. They have some talent. They just need to put it together. So I'd say going into that midweek battle, you just want to put runs on the board. That's the key. You know, key cog, even if it's one or two, just get something on the board to kind of break out of that slump. Coming up this weekend, we'll be hosting Alcorn State. I've got to be honest. Normally, when I talk about other teams, I like to highlight at least one positive. There's no positives for Alcorn State. They are a bad team. They're 0-7. They have given up 10-plus runs in every game, including a 23-1 loss to McNeese. Their highest point total was 3 against Jackson State. They haven't been competitive in any way, shape, or form. Every pitcher has been rocked. Their hitters struggle. They strike out a lot. They don't put the ball in play. They walk a lot of batters. They give up long balls. I mean, I'm going to be honest, if we don't sweep Alcorn State, it's going to be a long season. This is a team that you absolutely have to sweep. And I don't mean disrespect to Alcorn, but it's just realistically, they're not a good team. We've played SWAC teams in the past. You know, Grambling and Southern both have had some real quality teams. Texas Southern in the past has had some decent teams. Unfortunately, Alcorn, this is just not their year. You know, but going into it, you know, they're going to come in knowing that we're a quality program. They know they've struggled. So they're going to, you know, they have nothing to lose. They can steal a win against Northwestern. That would be a big feather in their cap. So got to be ready no matter who you're playing. At the end of the day, they are still Division I athletes. They're still good baseball players. But realistically, though, if the Demons can't get a sweep this weekend, we're in trouble. Definitely come out. I think you'll see some fireworks out there. But again, not worried about the baseball team. I think the hitting's going to come around. Pitching looks awesome. And as they say, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. Our defense is legit. Our pitching's legit. Once that offense starts clicking, I think you're going to see some good things from the baseball team. Moving on to Lady Demon Diamond, the softball team 12-8, looking really good. Had a split weekend against Fordham and UTSA. Against Fordham, they won the first one 6-1, lost the second one 5-3 against UTSA. Lost the first and 3-2 and had an awesome 5-0 win in the game four. In game four, Sage Hoover, absolutely masterful, 7 innings pitch. Gave two hits, struck out four. Complete game shutout, which was awesome. Keely Dubois, 2-for-3 against UTSA with a run in game number three, which was the first one we played against UTSA. So really awesome performances from both of them. As a team, I'm really happy with the softball. The way the roster is constructed, have pitching staff is really deep. We have three great pitchers that could come in any given time, and even fourth pitcher, I think, come in and clean up. No weaknesses there. Same thing offensively. There's no weaknesses. There's no one totally overpowering, but at the same time, just a lot of solid numbers, no real drop-offs, and that's what I like to see. I think come conference time, you're going to see some good things. It's been a tough early season schedule, you know, of course, playing Alabama. And I thought we competed well against them. But, you know, that'll help us come conference time. And just some people I want to mention, and I'll start off with Laney and Lexi Roos, who are both just playing absolutely phenomenal. Laney Roos, her starting, she's batting 350, 5 doubles and 3 home runs. And coming off the bench, Lexi Roos hasn't had a lot of opportunities to get numbers up. But I really like the way she approaches the plate. I think she looks really good right now, batting 300 and one home run in limited action. But I think Lexi Roos, I'm going to put a little circle around her name, I think you're going to see her do some good things. And she's one of those players, I think, that come conference time and tournament time, hopefully regionals, that she'll be one of those players in late innings you could bring off the bench and she can get a key hit, a pinch hit for somebody. And I think that could be a really big thing for Lexi coming out of the, coming into the rest of the season. But I really like the way she's looked at the plate. Same thing with Lainey, both of them just great approaches. Have to mention again the pitchers I was talking about right now. Maggie Darr, 1.20 ERA in 46.2 innings, has struck out 66. Sage Hoover, of course, we mentioned her earlier. She has a 2.35 ERA and in 44.2 innings has struck out 62. And Kenzie Seeley with a 2.10 ERA in 33 innings has struck out 33, which is just really great. Again, like I said, that pitching staff right there is really phenomenal. You've got quality there offensively. I like the way they play defensively. I find them really quick, especially in the outfield. I think we got some speed out there. They can make up some ground. Good arms. As I said, I love the way this team's constructed. 12-8 against a pretty solid schedule. And coming this weekend, we're going to play Houston. And Houston's a team that's pretty average. Player I like for them is Bethany Bush. She's batting .333 with two homers. As a team, they're 9-11. They're pretty much an average team. They're one of those teams I think you can get a good gauge of how we are. If we're going to be in the top half of the conference, this is a team we need to win the series against. If we can't beat them, then, it means we're probably more of an average team. So I think this is a good benchmark to set ourselves against. Houston, I think if you put them in the South End, I don't think they would win the conference championship. They're an average team, and I don't mean that as an insult. They're not bad by any stretch. They're solid, but they're one of those teams that if you're a good team, you should beat them. But if you're an average team, they can beat you. We definitely are going to have to play our A game against them, but I like the way we match up. I think, going forward, this softball team is really built exceptionally well, and I think with the level of competition we've played, the way we're going, and as I said in baseball, offense – might sell tickets, but defense wins championships. And with the pitching staff we have, Adar, Seeley, and Hoover, that's pretty awesome. That's a championship-level pitching staff, and I'm really excited to see how they face off in conference action. Going to talk about the basketball teams in a second, but first a quick word from our sponsor, who keeps this free each and every episode. Start off with the Lady Demons basketball team. Finished the season 12-13, 5-9. I can't stress enough about Coach Nims and how great of a job she's done. Last year, one win. At times, we looked pretty pitiful. This year, we were competitive. We're playing hard. And the turnaround from last year to this year, and really, if you look at the years, 2 or 3 years before that, going into this year, the strides this program has made is just absolutely phenomenal. And hats off to Coach Nims and staff. I know I've said it a lot, but I don't think he can brag enough about the job they've done. They lost to UNO on Thursday, 64-72. A real shocker on that one. But then came back with a win over SLU, 56-51. Southeastern, one of the top teams in conference, and we played really well against them. Against Southeastern, Candace Barrymore at 12 points, Money Bolden 11 points, 4 rebounds, Jordan Todd 15 rebounds. The big difference in that loss to UNO compared to Southeastern is I thought we didn't take care of the ball as well against UNO as we did against Southeastern. And we'll play Thursday at 1:30, get a kind of rematch against UNO, who I still don't think is a great team. They obviously can beat us as anybody can in this conference. But if we play our best, I don't think we should have a problem. And then, of course, the winner will play SLU Friday at 1:30. Both of those games are at 1:30. Going to try to do the best I can to cover that game at 1:30. Unfortunately, I do have work, so I'm going to do what I can. If I can't catch updates during the day, I'll have to definitely watch it as I come home. But looking forward to see how they can compete in the tournament. I'd like to see them get a run. I think they deserve it. It's a wide-open conference. Houston Baptist won it. They're the number one seed. Of course, it's going to be in Katy, Texas for the final year. But even looking at Houston Baptist, I don't see any team that we can't defeat. We're going to have to play our best ball to get wins, but I wouldn't be shocked to see this team make a little bit of a run. Just the hustle they play with, they have good depth. And again, if Bolden, Paramore, and Todd can do their thing, I think it puts us in position. A big thing we need to do is just be patient with our offense, get the good shots, don't force things. Just at times we seem to get frustrated and just make some careless mistakes. But if we can shore that up, I think we'll be okay. And it showed this past week. You know, we had that, you know, tough loss to UNO where we gave up some, you know, I thought easy transition points. And then the SOU game, we eliminated that. We knocked off one of the better seeds. So going to be fun going in there. And while we're talking about the last year of the tournaments in Katy before it turns into the McNeese Invitational next year, the men's basketball team had kind of an opposite one. They knocked off UNO 87-77, and it would end up proving to be a deciding factor for UNO as they will be the 3 seed now. Had UNO not lost to us, they would have won a conference championship. Instead, because of that, Nichols takes the conference title. UNO slips down to third. Really tough for them. Then we lost 85-80 to Southeastern. Demons will finish a tough 9-22 and 5-9 in conference. One thing that concerns me about this team right now is just defensively. We have just way too many breakdowns still late in the season. You know, at times we look really good. We play great defense, great offense, move the ball well. And then we just seem to have these periods where we just have some breakdowns defensively. And I think it's cost us. And you look at the points we've given up, you know, losing, you know, giving up 85 points and 77. That's tough. We will play McNeese Wednesday at 7:30. They beat us twice this year, 93-84 and 80-75. Again, you look at those numbers, giving up 93 and 80 points. It's not easy to win. Winner will play UNO Thursday at 7:30. That's going to be a tough one. To be honest, McNeese, I think that's a team we can win if we can, again, play good defense. I think offensively we're playing great. I have nothing bad to say about our offensive performance. It's just defense has to shore up. Do want to point out against UNO, Brian White had 23 points and 4 rebounds. Kendall Coleman went off against Southeastern, 18 points and 20 rebounds. A problem I've seen in the last few games is that we'll have one player step up, but no one else kind of gathers them. If we can have, let's say, Kendall Coleman and Brian White have those performances at the same time, there's no reason we can't make a run in this tournament, but we've got to get good defense and keep control of the ball. Going to be fun to see how Coach McConathy does tournament time. His teams normally do play better in tournament time, just the way they're configured. Before we end this episode, just want to point out an absurd stat line. Houston Baptist knocked off McNeese over the weekend in basketball, 149-144, in one of the most absurd games you ever see. It went to 4 overtimes. Again, 149-144 is just an amazing point total, and the finish was incredible as well. McNeese in the third overtime appeared to have won the game. Unfortunately, as they took the last shot, which would have been the winning shot, a player from the bench ran onto the court and got a technical foul, which allowed Houston Baptist to send the game into a fourth overtime where they eventually won it. I've heard some people complain about that technical foul call. To be honest, it had to be called. It wasn't a thing where he was like 2 steps onto the court celebrating. When the ball goes through the hoop, he's literally almost in the paint. You can't not call that. That's just officiating 101. Southland baseball looks really good. Southeastern, which got bombed by Tulane, that loss isn't looking as bad anymore. Tulane just knocked off the defending national champions, Mississippi State. They won that series 2-3. Of course, they bombed Louisiana Tech as well. Southeastern had a 4-3 midweek win over La Tech. Beat Arkansas in game one of their series 7-3. Ended up dropping the series 2-1, but played very, very good against a very talented Arkansas team. New Orleans, the Privateers swept UL Monroe. They're now 8-2. Texas A&M Corpus Christi took 2 out of 3 out of SFA, and Nichols 2 out of 3 out of Memphis. So Southland Conference baseball looks really strong. Do want to thank you for listening to this episode. It's enjoyable bringing to you each and every episode that I can put out. Look forward to the Southland Conference Tournament. Finally finishing up the Katy, Texas Invitational. It'll be the last year in Katy. After that, it'll switch over to McNeese, as will almost every other championship. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch it, see how Coach McConathy can get the team going. You know, always seems to have the team pumping at the right time during conference play and during the postseason. You know, really excited to see how Coach Nims and staff handle the postseason tournament in their second year. You know, raising the team, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes, and I'm real excited to see how they approach conference tournament play. Baseball and softball, I'm real excited about both of them. So lots to look forward to, a really busy week coming up. Hope all of you out there are safe. If you're listening, please take care of yourselves. Have a great, great week. Stay safe. Thank you for listening. And of course, as always, Farcom Demons.